Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Hallelujah. Welcome into the house of the Lord again tonight. God is so good. The worship experience is wonderful, as always. God has a plan for our lives, and that plan is to worship Him first, seek the kingdom first, and then everything else will come in order, will be added unto you. Tonight, we are actually starting a new series, a new studies. We're going back all the way to Mesopotamia tonight, and we are going to begin a study of the patriarchs and the lessons we can learn. We can learn lessons. We don't have to make the same mistakes that other people do. We can actually learn without making their mistakes from their mistakes. So tonight I've titled this first lesson tonight, Abraham, Friend of God. And this is week one, September 26, 2022, the second night of Rosh Hashanah tonight. So Shana Tova, again, Happy New Year. May you have a blessed and prosperous and sweet new year with no bitterness. So tonight we're going to begin by, I want to say that Abraham is a friend of God. And as we start this, I want to tell you that there's an even greater honor than being called a friend of God. And you know what it is? It's being called a friend of God by God. It's one thing for me to say I'm a friend of God. It's a whole other game when God says she's a friend of mine. That's a different word for someone tonight when God says we're his friends. And in the word of God, not only there's a verse in James 2:23 that says, "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." But in that context, what it means is he was called by others the friend of God. But watch this. This is where it gets good. And Isaiah 41:8, this is God Almighty speaking. And here's what he says. "But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you are the offspring of Abraham, my own friend." That is God calling Abraham, "Jacob, Israel, you are the offspring of my friend." So that's different than others calling him a friend of God. But here's the thing. Our God is no respecter of persons, is he? So how is this important information to you and I? It's important because in John 15:15, Jesus said these words, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know the master's business. I have called you friend." So what does that mean? That is, God did, what it means to you and I is, God did not just call Abraham his friend, God called you his friend also. I don't care if God called Abraham his friend. What I care is that I can be a friend of God and that God calls me his friend. Now, what does that mean? It means I have a great responsibility, because friends are loyal, right? Friends are faithful. Friends will sacrifice for you. Friends will be there in hard times, not just good times. That's what it means. To be called a friend of God means I have to be responsible as a friend. And to be a friend of God, I would think that that kicks it up a notch or two, just my opinion here, that I need to be found faithful. So my question tonight, and we're just going to get into the foundation of this. This is just the beginning of our study of the patriarchs. My question to go home, my question to meditate is, am I a loyal and faithful friend of God? He calls me friend. Do I live up to the name? And so I loved this to begin with this. Now, something I like as we begin this foundation again tonight that I really, really like in my study of the patriarchs and my study of people in the Bible in general. These are real flesh and blood people just like you and I. We think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we think of, incorrectly, we think of perfection, mighty men of God, and no doubt. And we think of King David, mighty men of God, God, a man after God's own heart, Abraham, a friend of God, so many. They were conquerors. They did so many things, but they were frail and they were subject to fail, just like you and I. They could fall. And this is what appeals to me about the study of the people of the Bible, because God could have just told us the highlights of their life, right? But he did not withhold from us that they had things in their life that needed to be corrected and fixed, and that God can use. Here's what I like to say. Can God use liars, thieves, deceivers, and broken and hurting people? And the answer is yes, and Frieda got it right. You better hope so, because there aren't any other kind of people except us who are broken and hurting and who have fallen and failed many times. Yes, God can use us. So I love in God's word when he doesn't withhold that these men and women, the times that they failed. Now, one of the things, and we're going to get into it not this week, but a little deeper next week, but you all know about how Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister. She was technicality. She was, and I'm going to get into that really deep soon. She was technically a half-sister, but let me just share this with you. What he did was lie, because she was first his wife. When she took on the role of wife, she was his wife. She was not serving in the role or capacity as sister. But here's the danger about us being men and women of God and then doing something that is so wrong. I'm going to read Genesis 2:20-4. This is Abraham speaking to Pharaoh, okay? And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." By the way, he never threw in half-sister either, by the way. If you're going to, you know, he never did that either. "She is my sister." Now, Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, will you slay a nation even though blameless? Did he not say himself to me, 'She is my sister'? And she herself said, 'He is my brother.'" So here's the thing. Abraham not only lied to Pharaoh, he also got her involved so that she would lie too. And he did it more than once. How many of us have ever repeated the same sin again? Come on now. Come on now. Done the same thing over again and said, "Why did I do that again? What is wrong with me?" But here's a secondary danger. The danger is, and I said in our teaching of demons, and by the way, that's online. That's on the podcast today. I put it on today. I taped it just this morning. And so you can hear that live. I'm already hearing from people. But In the teaching of demons, one of the things I said was this, that you need to conquer the demons in your life. You need to be a demon slayer and cast a demon out of your life so that your children don't have to cast those demons out later because you didn't do it what you were supposed to do. So get those things out of your house. Get cleaned up. But here's the thing about Abraham and Isaac. Now, watch this. We flip. Now, I just read to you from Genesis 20. That's where Abraham lied to Pharaoh, okay? Only 6 chapters later, in Genesis 26, I tell you, 6 chapters later, that's not long. So Abimelech, this is not Pharaoh anymore, this is Abimelech. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, "She is really your wife. Why did you say, 'She is my sister'?" Isaac answered him, "Because I thought I might lose my life on account of her." That was the only time he told the truth in the whole sentence. But here's the thing. Where do you think that Isaac learned to say, "She is my sister," of his wife? Wow, have you ever? There's nothing, you know, it's one thing for us to repeat the same mistakes again, but you're not going to like it. You are not going to like it when you see it show up in your kids, When you see your kids doing the same thing you did, that's tough, isn't it? That's a hard pill to swallow. And that is why we live for God, and we live with integrity and honor, and we hold ourselves to a higher standard, accountable to God and to one another, so that our children don't have to cast those demons out we should have cast out, and our children don't have to learn from our mistakes and make and repeat the same mistakes that we did. So we're going to get into this a little bit. And I said something last week that I think bears repeating too, and it was also from the teaching of demons, but it applies to this too, that we hold ourselves to that higher standard in everything we say and everything we do. And especially, I mean, how shameful is it that they're talking to other idol-worshipping leaders in the land that they should have been an example to, and instead they're acting like fools and they're lying and doing things unbecoming to a follower of God. And so here's what I said last week. Hold yourself accountable. There are calls, phone calls you should never take. There are texts you should never answer. There are places you should never go. There are movies and there are things that you should never lay your eyes on, and there are people that you should never befriend, because those people, the Bible says, make no friends with an angry man. It also says bad company corrupts good morals. There are people that you need to stay away from because it's a trap, because they're there as a plant from hell to take you down, to seduce you into living an unrighteous life. You know what? Iron sharpens iron. Stick with those who are believers unless you are ministering, and that is it. So we're going to be talking about Abraham and the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's some good in this story, there's some bad in this story, and there's some ugly in this story. Let's get a little bit of the backstory. We always need the backstory, right? And so I'm going to read to you Joshua 24 and 2. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt, they lived on the other side of the flood in the old days. Even Terah is the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." And when this translation says they served other gods, what it means, let me give you the full scope of it. What that means is they all served other gods. It's not just, when you look at something without studying the Hebrew, the Greek, or the context that it's in, you might miss something very important. And this is not just random, they served other gods, blah. No, they all served other gods. There was no light in that place. And so there was a time when Terah, the father of Abraham, did not follow God, and he knew better. And this family served other gods, their own family. You know, we have family members that do not serve God, that worship they worship idols, other things. And the story actually begins with this family, and they are living in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. It is a place of idol worshiper. We know from history that there are at least 12 high deities that were the so-called god Nana of the moon, the god of the sun, the god of the moon. They worship the stars. And here's what I would say about that. They worship the creation, but not the creator. They worship the blessings, but not the one who gave the blessings or who caused the sun to shine and the moon at night. And Abraham's family themselves were part of the group that all served other gods. And there's a strong possibility, history tells us, and commentaries tell us, that they actually worship the sun and the moon and the stars. And I've said this before, but I find this extremely interesting. In my study, this is what God put on my heart. And I want you to get this. Genesis 15:5, this is God. God took Abraham outside and he said, "I want you to look up at the sky and count those stars, if indeed you can count them," which we already know the answer to that. "Then he said to him, so shall your offspring, your descendants, be like the stars in the sky." Now, why do I find that interesting that he took him outside and he had him look at the sky, at the sun and the stars, and started pointing out the sun and the stars? Because those were the things that back in Ur of Chaldees, They worship the sun and the moon and the stars. And God is now telling him, you can't even count those stars. You know, come on. And it's like Job said. I said yesterday, God said to Job, where were you? So it's a comparison. You used to worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. But I want to talk to you about those moon and the stars. Your descendants shall be like those moon and those stars. You look up at the sky. And by the way, Abraham, you can't even count the stars. Stop worshiping the stars and the moon and the sun. And so we've all been like Abraham and Terah. There was a time when we too were far from God, when we served other gods, which I'm going to call material things, the blessings of life. We enjoyed the blessings. We served pleasure. We did what we wanted to do, the things of this world. But God is calling us out of that. He's put eternity in our hearts and the Holy Spirit. God called Terah out of sin, and he's calling us out. But God also called Abraham out of sin, and I'm going to prove it to you, and out of Ur at a very, very young age. And this tells me that God calls the young and the old alike. But I want to make a statement tonight about Abraham and about Terah and to you. In order to lead, you must leave. If you're going to be a leader and you're going to lead others, you're going to have to leave something. I'm going to say it like this. You might have to leave a relationship. If you're going to lead, you're going to have to leave. Now, I don't know what it is in your life that you're going to have to leave, but you're going to have to leave something or somebody behind if you're going to serve God with all of your heart. There's things, maybe that's your past. There's people. There's things that you're attached to. You're going to have to live a different life, a set-apart life, because God said, before you were even in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I called you as a prophet to the nations, and I set you apart. And that word you means, what's the translation on that you? It means you. It doesn't mean anything else, and it doesn't mean your neighbor. There's no other Greek Hebrew. It means you. He's called you. He set you apart. So this is a very personal. The word of God is personal to you and I. I like what my brother says. The most important page in the entire Bible is the page that has your name on it. Because that page, this is my word. This is a love letter to me from my God, my creator. This belongs to me. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about the situation here. So I'm gonna take a little turn to Acts 7:2. So he's Stephen. This was Stephen. Remember the first martyr? Our first gospel martyr was Stephen. He replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God, by the way, this didn't go over so well. Listen to me. The God, they did not. The God of glory appeared to our forefather Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, which is that is Ur, before he settled in Haran. Now, there are commentators that will tell you that Abraham was not called until he was in Haran, because we know that Terah took them to Haran. They went to Haran. Terah was in authority, his father. And so some say that Abraham did not receive a call from God until he was in Haran with his family, but that is not true, because right here it says, Stephen said it, and he did not lie. The God of glory appeared to our forefather Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran. So that means Abraham was actually very young when he received the call of God on his life. So God was calling Terah, yes, but he was also calling Terah's son. So God's called Frida, but he's also called Ari. He's called Tony, but he's also called Ari too. And that's how that works. So God calls us, and he always has been calling us and pursuing us. I love how the Holy Spirit is called the Hound of Heaven, that he will pursue us, and he has pursued us. If you are honest with yourself, the Lord God has pursued you since the time you were very, very young. Many will tell me, I had encounters with God. I had a praying grandmother, somebody in my life. God has had his hand upon each and every one of us since even before the day that we were born, or we would not even be here today sitting in these chairs at all. But there came a time when Terah realized, we do not know because the Bible does not tell us and we can't make something up, but there was a time when Terah realized that he needed to get his family out of Ur. Probably that was just God working on him. You know, this is not where you belong. How many of you have been to places where you realize you don't belong here? This is not the place for you. I can remember one time in my life when I wasn't living where I needed to be with God, and I was at a party long, long, long time ago, and a man came up to me, a young man, and he said to me, "You are so out of place. You do not belong here." Well, he didn't have to tell me that, because let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I already knew I didn't belong there. I used to think, oh, my Lord, my father's probably driving in his car, like looking for me right now, knowing, you know, but you know what? That you think that's funny. I used to think my dad probably knows right where I'm at. He's probably tailing me. But you know what? The truth was, my heavenly father was looking for me. He knew right where I was. And that's called the Holy Spirit. So God has had his hand on you. And so Terah came out. Genesis 11:31, Terah took his son, Abram, not Abraham. When his name was changed to Abraham, Abram, watch this, A-B-R-A-M, God put A-H in his name and changed it to Abraham. And the word A-H means Ah, Elohim, it means God. God put his own name in Abraham's name when he changed it. And so Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot wasn't supposed to be in the lot, but he was, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans. Now, that's the first right decision they're making. If you are in sin, even if you're a bunch of people, get as many as you can, and let's just get out, okay? And to go to Canaan. This is what the word says, to go. Now, this is going to be important. This is going to be really important. God tells Terah and Abram, go to Canaan. But, oh my goodness, we are in trouble now. When God says go to Canaan, and then there's a but, something went wrong. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The word settled means they started dwelling, living there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Now, let me tell you something about Haran. Haran is exactly halfway to Canaan. How many of us go halfway and serving God halfway, and we settle down? Terah never got to Canaan. He died halfway from where he was supposed to be. He died, in other words, outside the promises of God. Let me tell you, I don't want halfway. I don't want halfway, because I like to say it like this. If I was telling you how it was, Haran is not God's plan. Haran is not God's plan. When God says go to Canaan, he doesn't mean go to Haran and sit your little, you know what, down on a seat and don't go any farther. That's not what he means at all. And so many like Terah, and I'll let you in on another secret. There's another story in the Bible pretty much like this, and it's found with Ruth and Orpah, not Oprah, Orpah. We see this with Orpah, when she starts out and then turns back and then goes back. And to me, that's some of the saddest stories. Now, this family left as a family, and we don't know why they left. It's probably, like I said, it's probably God putting it on Terah's heart, on Abraham's heart, on the family's heart, that things aren't going well because they don't go well. But it could have also been, some commentators believe that, you know, Terah's son Haran actually died. And might have had something to do this. We just absolutely don't know. But what we do know is that Ur was a very sinful place, because they all worshiped idols. And if you're in a place like that, you all need to get out. Anyone who can get out needs to go, go, go. Any time is a good time to leave. And if that's you tonight, now is the time that you need to leave. It's a good time to take that step and never turn back, because they were supposed to go to Canaan. Haran was halfway. And it's very interesting what the name Haran actually means. How many of you, raise your hands if you know what the name Haran means? Not Sandra. It means dry place. Haran halfway is a dry place. Can I tell you that tonight? Would you listen to me for just a minute and know my heart, that I love you? Haran, serving God halfway, is dry. You've been at the dry place. You've been at the halfway place. But there's one more thing. There's another word that Haran means. It means crossroads. It means you're at a crossroads. And a crossroads is a place where you have to decide what direction you're going to go. Which direction am I going to turn? And you know what? We each get to make that decision, and I thank God and I praise God for that, because if you're at a crossroad, this is the place where you need to make a decision for God, to go forward with God, to move on towards Canaan, which represents the promises and the blessings of God, and be obedient to what God and where God has told you to be. Because I'm going to say this, and I've said this to my daughters before, if you're not at the place you're supposed to be, you're at a place where you're not supposed to be. And if you're not at a place where you're not supposed to be, you're not at the place where you're supposed to be. You can't. There's a place for you in the kingdom of God. And God wants you at a place of obedience, and a place which means a place of blessing like Canaan. And every decision that Terah made affected his family. But he died. He died outside the promises of God. But Abraham also had been called. And, you know, what is it going to take for us to continue and move forward with God? Is it going to take for someone to die before we make that decision? But now that Terah is out of the picture and Abraham is the leader of the family, God is calling him once again, because the call of God is without repentance. Romans 11:28. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. So I would say to you tonight, no matter where you are in life, God is calling you. And even if he's called you out and you're moving forward, he's calling you to continue on. But I want to read to you Genesis 12:1, because it's such a blessing. It was such a blessing to me to read it today in my office, and just, you know, I just wanted to weep. It said, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, leave your people and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Do you know how hard that is? Leave what? Leave your people, leave your family, leave your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. You know what's greater than God blessing you? I will bless you, is for God to let you bless others, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of the earth, and that is you and I, will be blessed through you. Abraham's blessings belong to you and I today. Abraham's blessings are ours. Do you know that we are the seed of Abraham, and the word God spoke to Abram is for you and I today. And it is for you. It is to you. God, I know, is speaking to hearts, but we have to be, we can't compromise. Haran was a horrible compromise. It was a dry place. It was a crossroads, roads, and people were sitting there in Haran not making any decision. I realize it wasn't Ur, a place of idol worship, but neither was it the place where God wanted them. It doesn't matter where you go if it's not where God told you to go. If it's not the place he has led you, then you're still at the wrong place. You're still out of the will and the plan of God. So I am so thankful. We're going to continue on this next week on the study of the patriarchs, but we want to celebrate Princess Lilia's birthday tonight. So we're going to ask our worship team, are you going to do another song? They're going to do a song. Hopefully it's a, you know, quick song, because we want to celebrate Lilia. Willie, we want to celebrate Lilia. Okay. You understand, Willie? Please? Please? Favor?
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.